18th class, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, continuing study of understanding the different types of Raghunuk Bhakti. And this definition is going on for some time about Kama Rup and Sambandhanuga Rup, or Sambandha Rup Bhakti. This is text 283. Sakama rupa samboga samboga trishnam danayati swatam yadasyam krishna sokyarta meva kevala mudyama. This is a definition. That prema rupa bhakti is called kama rupa when the thirst or trishnam for enjoyment becomes identified with its very nature. Because in it, all endeavors are noticed to be for the sole enjoyment of Sri Krishna alone. Well, this Kama Rupa is a type of intense love that the Braja Gopis have for Krishna. We understand things in terms of our own experience. We see that in conjugal affairs there's dancing and kissing. These are manifestations of lust. But in Krishna's love dalliances with the gopis, these are the pure exchanges of unalloyed devotion, unalloyed love. The Braja Gopis' internal motivation is completely different from the motivation of mundane lovers. Though externally the activities look similar, analogies like iron and gold. Their bhav, their love is called aprakrita, it is not material. Selfish desire is motivation for material lust, and selfless desire is motivated by spiritual lust. Material world, every action is selfish, exploitation. In the spiritual world, every action is selfless, acts of dedication meant solely for Krishna's pleasure. Seems like not much difference. You just turn one switch. One switch and we're in the spiritual world. Acts of selfless acts dedicated for the satisfaction of Krishna. That's spiritual world. Well, that's easier said than done. This kama rupa. It says, as a form, at least it's similar to as a form of lust or calm. It's a particular type of prema which is full of spontaneous absorption in a beloved object. In Kama Rupa Bhakti, there is an intense zeal for the happiness of Krishna. The Braja Gopis' prema is called Kama because they are completely, intensely eager only for pleasing Krishna. They have no thirst for their own personal enjoyment. Sambhog Trishnam. This is verse has the word Trishnam, which I told means thirst. This means thirst for union or sex union. The Braja Gopis' nature is that they are intensely desirous or thirsty to give happiness to Krishna in union, sexual union. So this is their Sambhog Trishnam. It's quite interesting. It's quite opposite our idea. Material, calm. We have calm, and people say, oh, he's lusty, he's calm. Even the lord of so-called love of this world is called Kamadev. He shoots the arrows into the heart, and men and women become lusty for each other. But we have in our Gayatri, we have transcendental Kamadev, Krishna. And he shoots arrows into the heart, and we become lusty to serve Krishna. We become intensely desirous to please the Lord. Sri Goswami says that this desire for sense enjoyment is absolutely nothing, that the word kama in this verse, kama rupa of the gopis, is actually nothing but prema. It has intense attachment and love attraction for Krishna, one supreme object. That's why we read the prayers of these great kama rupa devotees. these sakis and mandris, they're intensely, as the sakis are intensely desirous to give pleasure to Krishna, the mandris like Rati Mandri and Rupa Mandri, and their prayers to Lapkusa Manjali and other places, they're indicating the intensity of their desire to give pleasure to Radharani, give happiness to Radharani. And this is really the goal of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. In general, or let's say in specific, if someone is in Stai Bhav, Amadur Rati, he's fixed on Radharani, giving pleasure to Radharani. In Prema Bhakti, this Prema Bhakti of the Gopis, it makes even the lusty thirst for the touch of the embraces of Godhead change into Ragatmika, attains its own nature of Prema Bhakti, because in it all attempts are made for the absolute pleasure of Krishna. So he says this word kam is used by Rupa Goswami, and the commentators are saying this word kam means nothing else but intense attachment to pleasing Krishna. That's really what it means. As we know what kam means in this world, intense attachment to please ourselves or bodies, whatever. And so there, Krishna is the object of the kam. It's an extraordinary aspect of prema bhakti. Because the gopis, the braja gopis like Yashoda, they also have prema bhakti for Krishna. But they aren't intensely, they don't have kamarupa bhakti. It's called sambandha nuga. They're not intensely desirous to offer themselves for the pleasure of Krishna's physical, well, you can say, conjugal pleasure. This is the next text, 284. Asam prema visheshoyam prapta kamampi madurim tatat krida nidan vat kama et yuchate buddhe. This kama-rupa bhakti is gloriously manifest in the braja gopis alone. You don't find it anywhere else in Vaikuntha or anywhere else. Their inexplicable and inconceivable prema with this particular characteristic attains a supreme kind of sweetness which becomes the cause of expressions of embraces, kisses, etc. The wise have therefore termed this unique prema of the braja gopis as kama, because kama itself is glorified in the absolute pleasures of the absolute divinity. Well, this is a speciality of the gopis that, for example, they're worried about Krishna's feet, you see in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. They say, oh Krishna, you're wandering everywhere in the world behind the cows, and there's so many small pebbles and dry thorns, dry stickers from the trees, and if you step on them, your feet may be scratched or cut, and we know your feet are very soft, and we want to hold your feet on our breast, but we know our breasts are very hard. So then the commentators say that if anything is dear to us, if we like something, then we'll hold it to our chest. Like we say, oh, this is my favorite book, and we'll go like this, or whatever. Like the child, we always hold to our heart, because the chest is where the heart is. So the gopis' hearts are covered by their breasts, and their gesture, expression, to hold Krishna's feet there, is just to say that everything about Krishna is dear to them. They want to hold Krishna's feet, his head, his chest, everything, because they feel that Krishna is their everything. They feel he's so dear to them. They care about him so much. Because ordinarily it sounds rather strange if someone says, I want to embrace your feet. I can't conceive of such a thing. A man won't say to his wife, I want to embrace your feet, or vice versa. But this statement about worrying about his feet and knowing how soft they are is a basic feeling to have about him in general. They're always worried about Krishna, and they want to protect him and hold him, any part of him. All of Krishna is dear to them. Krishna's head, his heart, his back, his feet, everything is more dear than their own bodies. So Jiva Goswami, he includes that here, that comment, that verse. He says, in the Rasamandal, the lovelorn gopis who were smitten by the serpent of separation from the beloved, they were full of agony and crying. They said, O beloved, with utmost care and fear we hold thy soft and tender lotus feet on our hard breasts. But we are afraid, we want to, but we're afraid because your tender feet will be hurt and feel pain. How do you wander about in the forest with such soft rose petal-like feet? Are your feet not pinched in pain by the sharp needle-like pointed stones? Our intelligence fails us, and our heads are spinning just to think of how painful you must feel, O Lord of our lives. So in the shloka, the purity of the Brajagopi's prema has been expressed, which is not tinged by any touch of self-pleasures. Now a question may be raised. Kamarupa Bhakti must be of the nature of one's own thirst for pleasures in union with the beloved. Therefore, it must be expressive in actions and not merely thoughts. How can such active thirst for self-enjoyment and union with the divine beloved be possible to be dissolved into pure prema, which is completely free from even any thought of one's own pleasures? Rupa Goswami makes it clear that although Kama Rupa is expressive in actions, such as embraces and kisses, such actions can be mentally changed into pure love in this sense. He says, may my Kama Rupa actions, such as embracing and kissing, give supreme pleasure to my beloved spouse, Sri Krishna. Such thinking like that is mental action. Thus, the thirst for loving union with the Supreme Beloved, who is the only Beloved and none else, finally ends in pure prema, absolute pleasures of Sri Krishna alone. This discussion is about how Rupa Goswami can use a term like Kamarupa Bhakti as being a special feature of prema bhakti. Because generally, prema bhakti is thought of as being completely selfless, and no interest, one's not drawing any interest or satisfaction for themselves. But then on the other side, you say the gopis are very lusty, they're very desirous to embrace and kiss Krishna. So then you think, wait a minute, these are expressions of lust. In this material world, if someone's lusty, they want to embrace or kiss the other person, other party. But then Rupa Goswami and Jiva qualifies, say, no, it's prema. Still, this so-called lust is a characteristic of prema, because the gopis want to embrace and kiss Krishna, not for their pleasure, but for his. So although the expressions themselves, the actions, appear to be lusty, so therefore, but because the intention, the mentality, the intention is solely to give pleasure, because we know Krishna will like it. We want to have union, we want to kiss and embrace Krishna, have union, so that sounds like lust for your own gratification, lust for your own pleasure. But then they say, no, this is prema, because their motivation, they're thinking, no, this is only for Krishna, because we know that he'll like it. We know that he'll enjoy us. So therefore, we're very intensely eager to abandon everything and forego all our connections and run away from family and everything to throw ourselves at Krishna's feet. Very extraordinary mentality. The Brajagopis are consumed and obsessed by a passion to satisfy Krishna, the force of which is beyond our ability to comprehend. By comparing their obsession and passion to lust, which is the single most consuming and overwhelming urge in our experience, we may catch the slight hint of the intensity of the Brajagopis' desire to serve Krishna. Kama Rupa Prema Bhakti. This is their prema bhakti. They're consumed by an overwhelming urge. So we know that. We know what it means to be consumed and overwhelmed by lusty impulses. But what the gopis are experiencing is all directed towards God. The word kamarupa actually should be said kamatmika, completely filled with thirst. The phrase kamarupa expresses only bhakti, composed of conjugal actions and not the conjugal emotions. Whereas kamatmika means bhakti completely inundated with conjugal feelings. So this is feelings and actions, because atmika means body, mind, everything. Kama rupa involves intense actions of body and mind. In mind, the person thinks, Krishna will attain happiness from me. Thus the transformation into prema in the atma will take place, since the body and mind are involved. So their mind is fixed on Krishna and Krishna alone. We should understand this very deeply. Generally, the materialistic people, when they approach the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, they completely miss the point, and they only see the externals of the kissing and embracing, and dancing and rasa dance. And they publish books like we see in Connaught Place, you'll see many painting books of old paintings, the erotic love of Krishna. There's so many 500-year-old paintings of Krishna and the gopis actually naked and then dancing and enjoying it. And they really depict Krishna in a very bad way. Because they think that, oh, we're lusty and we want to be naked and enjoy our selfish, exploitive tendencies with some other person. So Krishna must be like that. Oh, he's Romeo and Juliet, like Shakespeare. He's very Don Juan. He's like a playboy or something. Because they don't understand the mental aspect, the mind of the gopis. They only see the externals. Most people judge like that. And so when God, they think that God must be Maryada, he must be the maintainer of the law. God is the lawgiver, the Ten Commandments, the laws of God. This is the general consensus that God is he's lawful, and he establishes commandments and laws, and people should follow them, especially himself. Now this Hindu God is being presented as Krishna, and the love lives of Krishna, all these books they have. They don't understand the mentality. They just look externally. They say, yes, he was so lusty, he ripped off these gopis' clothes. He was so lusty, even at the age of, how old was he? 7 years old, I think. He was very active at the age of 7. 7 years old, he lifted Govardhan Hill. And 7 years old, he stole the clothes of the gopis. Right after that, next month, isn't it? Margashirsha month. The gopis, the Kanyakumaris, they did a brata called Katyayani Brat in the month of Margashirsha, November, December, taking bath early in the morning when it's very cold, and making a deity of Durga, Katyayani Mahamai, Mahayogi Nidishri, Nanda Gopasutam Devi, Patime Kurute Nama. And they prayed to Katyayani, oh, Katyayani Ma, you're a Mahayogi, Katyayani Mahamuni, Mahayogi, Mahayogi Nidishri, you're the Adishri, you're the original controller of this world, Ma Durga, Yogini, Nanda Gopasatam Devi, Patime Kurudevi. Please make the son of Nanda Maharaj, Patim Dehi, Dhanam Dehi, please give him to us as our husband. So they prayed like this mantra. So Krishna came and stole their clothes, ran up in the tree. And he said, you can't get these clothes back from us unless you beg for them. You have to come here and stand naked before me and I'll give you your clothes back. Everyone says, what is this guy? When people see this, they say he's really lusty. So they really criticize Krishna for this activity. 7 years old boy. He seemed really precocious. Girls are only 6 years old. The gopis were 6 years old. Because the next year he danced with them in a rasa dance and they were 7. He was 8. So he's pretty young to be involved in lusty activity. So it's actually very playful in one sense. But this term is there, so we have to come to grips with this, this calm of the gopis, this intense lust is nothing to do with the lust of this world. Text 285. Premaiva gopa ramanam kama ityagamat pratam. It davadayo petam vanchanti bhagavat priyam. This is a quotation from Tantra, not saying which one. The Kama Rup Bhakti of the Braja Gopis has become famous simply as Prema. Generally, they just said Gopi Prem, or the Gopis had Prem, but to be more specific, Rupa Goswami is giving it a special title. But it's known as Prema generally. So now he's explaining how even great Bhagavat Priyas, even great devotees like Uddhava, they covet this Krishna Prema of the Gopis. Now he's trying to, Rupa Goswami is trying to explain how this is not some ordinary lusty love affair or lusty conjugal love, kam prem, that it's so pure and so exalted and unique that even the greatest devotees who are fully celibate and fully in control of their senses, they are hankering to understand it, hankering to experience it, hankering to have any connection with it. Uddhava will be pleased with any type of connection with the Braja Gopis. Vrindavanam kim gumalata oshadinam. Uddhava is praying in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, he's saying, I don't mind, I would like to come to Vrindavan. I like Vrindavan, I would like to take birth there. Goma lata oshadim. As any kind of creeper or lata or some kind of tree, small creeper winding up a tree, or a little shrub crawling along the ground, there's these shrubs that crawl along the ground, and some of the dust of the gopi's feet may fall upon me. And then that particle of dust will give me an understanding of a particle of their love. That is his idea. That I'm too small. Uddhava was thinking, I am too small and I am too insignificant and unqualified to understand the length and depth of the gopis' love. Their love is so vast. My ability to understand the gopis' love is like a sorso bij, like sesame seed. And their love is as tall and large in magnitude as Mount Sumeru. So Jiva Goswami points out that Uddhava was offering his obeisances to the gopis who were so much distressed in their pangs of separation from Govinda, who had left them and gone to Mathura. In separation from Krishna, the gopis went almost mad and all the functions of their senses stopped. Somehow they maintained their life and they discarded all of their connections with family and lived in utter loneliness. Seeing such unthinkable conditions of the gopis, Uddhava said, these Braja gopis are the most fortunate ladies in the world. They made their lives perfectly successful because they have achieved the topmost prema for Lord Govinda alone, who is the life of all beings. Those that are liberated and who are afraid of repeated birth and death, the munis, they and even we are fortunate to have attained the company of the Lord. We still aspire and desire to have the prema that they have, but unfortunately we're not eligible for it. What's the use of being born a Brahmin by birth or by Vedic sacrifices? What's the use of even being Brahma, the creator of the universe? For someone like the gopis who have attained Krishna prema, they're superior to all, even though they appear to be born an inferior caste. So this is a prayer that Uddhava recited to the gopis to show how exalted they are and how special they are. The calm of the Braja gopis is the highest form of love or prema. Therefore, even a great devotee like Uddhava or the great liberated souls and muktis, jnanis and mokshavadis, they desire this prema of the gopis. They aspire for gopi prema. It doesn't mean that they're praying for the kantabhav or to be the mistresshood of the gopis. They don't want the same love. They don't want to be Krishna's lover. But they pray that they could be blessed with the same intensity of the prema that the gopis have. Not exactly their kanta aspect. In other words, Uddhava was praying the gopis, not that I want to become a gopi like you also, that I want to have conjugal vilas or intimate erotic connection with Krishna in the Prakriti Bhav. But they're saying, no, I'm Krishna's servant, messenger, friend. I want to maintain my relationship, my sthayi bhav, as Krishna's servant and friend. But I want to be so intense in my friendship and so intense in my service that it has the same characteristics and qualities of thirst and attachment that you have in the conjugal love. I want to be a lusty servant. I want to be a lusty friend. In other words, so driven and so obsessed and possessed with the idea of pleasing you as your servant or pleasing you as your dear friend that I'm consumed and driven by this desire and nothing else. So this aspect he was praying for, that pure prema aspect. The word kam signifies action. It's interesting because we say, in Sanskrit, kam means lust. In Hindi, the word kam means work. We say karma. But kam, we say kam. Kya kam? What are you doing? You know, what is your work? We say work. What kind of work do you do? What kya kam? What is your kam? So it signifies action. And literally, the word kam means desire, lust. In reference to the Braja Gopis, Krishna transforms their so-called lust into pure prema. The Acharyas use this word kam to describe the Braja Gopis. Their love or prema is not lust. Wherever there is love, there will be activities. Prem signifies action. There's no question of love being dormant. It's impossible. Of course, this is some arguments of some other scholars. Sometimes it's said that that love is dormant within the heart. It's just the Krishna prema. And we're of that idea. This is a pretty good argument. Some commentators use. If you love someone, you want to do pleasing actions for that person. When you do that activity and the person is pleased, that gives you pleasure. There's two ways you get pleasure in the material world. One is you get pleasure directly for yourself by gratifying your senses. Everyone in the material world is trying to do this. This is the meaning of kam or lust. In lust, the desire is you. Only want pleasure for yourself. But in the spiritual world, in prema, it's just the opposite. You desire only to satisfy the senses of your object of love, the person whom you love. When your lover is satisfied, that gives you satisfaction. This is another way of getting pleasure. In the spiritual world, there is pure prema, pure love. Everyone, all the devotees are trying to please the Lord, and this gives them great happiness. And the Lord also tries to please his devotees, and that gives Krishna happiness. So here we act in spiritual and material lust, we act intensely to please ourselves. In the spiritual world, we act intensely to please Krishna. So of course, love is a minutely, at least we understand. Every jiva has a minute ability to love. Otherwise he couldn't even be activated. If there was nothing, where does the ability to love manifest from? There must be some basis. Like fuel has the ability to explode or to combust if its contact is the right element. So you could say that combustible quality or the burning power of fire is latent or dormant dormant within the gas. It comes in contact with a spark. A spark, which means another fire, then that capacity to burn ignites. So the jivas do have the, at least we are understand it like this, they have the ability to love God. Otherwise, if it's not already there, it could never come out of nowhere. Because we say, love is, prema is eternal, love is eternal, and the jiva is eternal. So he has the eternal capacity to love Krishna, the eternal potential to love Krishna. And that becomes activated by association with advanced devotees. Well, you may have a big can of gasoline, and it may just be quiet for years, and you throw a match in it and it blows up, boom. So this is what we understand about the soul, that from time immemorial the Lord has put the explosive quality, imbued it within the Atma, within the Jiva, to serve Him and please Him in a particular way. And at the right time, in the right circumstance, then that will manifest. This is just as logical as any other argument. That's what we follow. There's some notes here too. I have some notes on this subject. Kamarupa Bhakti. Kamarupa Uttam Bhakti of the Braja Gopis. Rupa Goswami is explaining, he's going to discuss Raganuga Bhakti, but before that, Raganuga means to follow the rag of whom? To follow the Ragatmika Bhaktas. So what are they all about? Well, there's two types of them. Those are Kamarupa and Sambandarupa. So he's saying the basic essence of Kamarupa is the activities performed only for the pleasure of the Lord. Even the desire to enjoy sambhog, sexual union, even that desire, one only, the gopis only desire for the sake of Krishna. That is called Kamarup. This exists in the dumps of Braja. This is why it's called Kamarup instead of Premarup. Because Kama means lust. Kama is usually used in relation with sex. Kama means desire, but in Sanskrit it's also used to describe sex, because sex is one of the greatest desires of the conditioned soul. That's why Cupid is called Kamadev, the god of sex. So why is the Braja Gopi's love called Kamarup? The activities in Kamarup resemble the activities of people in the material world in relation to their sex activities, embracing, kissing. You read in Rasa Lila, it's right there in the 10th canto, that Krishna embraced the gopis, he put his hands on their breast and legs and thighs and shoulders. A very intimate description there. It appears to be quite lusty, but it's not. And these are expressions of pure love. From the outside, it looks like that. It looks like material lust. Although actually the Braja Gopi's love is a supreme a special manifestation of prema only. When prema manifests a special sweetness, it appears like calm or lust. Therefore the tantras say the prema of the Braja Gopis becomes known as calm because their external activities with Krishna look like lusty activities or sexual activities. The underlying principle in Kamarupa Bhakti is a devotee has so much love for Krishna, she wants to please Krishna with everything, whatever she has. And this is the highest manifestation of Uttam Bhakti, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadhyad Avritam. Their favorable action, Anukulya, is only for the pleasure of Krishna. Why these apparently lustful activities between Krishna and the gopis are displayed in the material world? Someone might say, all right, better that Krishna didn't display the rasa dance. Then we wouldn't be so confused or bewildered. Why did he do this? Because there is no other way to understand what is Uttam Bhakti. Without Krishna's dealing with the Braja Gopis, one cannot understand the height of Uttam Bhakti. Because in Uttam Bhakti, which is given in Mangala Charana chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is a science of devotion. We want to understand, what does it mean to be a devotee? What does it mean to have bhakti? What is bhakti? Well, bhakti, the uttam, topmost bhakti, is that of the gopis. It is free from any coverings, anavritam, of karma and gyan. And they're only anukuli, only for the pleasure of Krishna. Well, what is an example of this uttam bhakti? And then it's given here, this kama rup of the gopis. There's no other way to understand what is without Krishna's dealing with the Braja Gopis, one cannot understand the height of uttam bhakti. The reason is that the Braja Gopis are the only devotees of the Lord who are 100% surrendered for Krishna's sake. Swajana Maryapatam Chahitvam. They're not caring for anything, anyatam, there's no anavritam, there's no other covering, not the slightest bit of covering of karma or society or friends or anything. They don't care, they've given up chastity, their name, morality, for Krishna. More than that, the gopis even serve Krishna with their own bodies, physically. This example is there for us to understand. Because in the material world, the greatest attraction is sex between male and female. No one engages in sexual union for the pleasure of the other person. During the sexual intercourse, there is no feeling that you want to please your partner. You're completely captivated by the passion for your own enjoyment. Even in that situation, the Braja Gopis never think of their own pleasure. Even in such a situation, the gopis have no abhilash. Abhilash means, we say, anya abhilash. We have this term, definition of uttam bhakti, anya abhilash. There's no other abhilash. They have no other desire at any time, even at this most intimate time of conjugal union with Krishna. The gopis don't even have the slightest desire to enjoy Krishna for 1 second. So therefore, there's no covering, no other covering, no other secondary desire. We may, for example, we may serve prasadam to the other devotees, but when we sit down to eat, we enjoy. But the Braja Gopis have no separate concept of their own. This is the secret of Krishna and the Braja Gopis' pastimes. Otherwise, what was the need to depict their pastimes in the Bhagavatam? And why describe that they dance with Krishna and Krishna touched their private parts and they bathe in the Yamuna and this and that? Because that's what's told in Bhagavatam. He touched their thighs. The word in Sanskrit, thighs, actually doesn't mean thighs. It's translated thighs. But it's something more than that. And it's private parts. And then they bathe in the Yamuna, this and that. Krishna enacted this rasa dance with all these intimate pastimes to show that even when young, beautiful woman, the Braja Gopi, is with the most handsome young man, Krishna, alone in the forest, in a picnic mood, they have full facility to enjoy without inhibition, tension, or fear. They have both left their homes, they are alone in a deep forest, and there's no one coming after them. Even in such a wonderful place, under the full moonlight on the banks of the Yamuna River in the forest, the Braja Gopis don't have an iota of an idea to enjoy themselves. Not even a drop. Who is that person who would get into who is that person who would not get into an enjoying mood in such a situation? And that is with Krishna. Can you imagine in such a situation not be have some enjoying mood come? Okay, if you're trying to enjoy someone with somebody, you can say, well, that's not devotion, so I should not enjoy. But even with Krishna, because they can say, well, we're here, we've given up everything, but for God. We're alone in the forest, we're young girls, he's a young boy from our village. But he's God, so why can't we even enjoy God? I mean, it's service, we're serving him, so maybe we derive a little pleasure, maybe we enjoy a little bit. But even then, they weren't trying to enjoy. Even when Krishna, and then it says, even when the Brajagopis are with Krishna, they're not getting the idea that they have to enjoy. They're not trying to. Even when Krishna wants to give them enjoyment, they don't accept it. This is called Kamarupa Bhakti, the topmost manifestation of devotion, Uttam Bhakti. Why does Shukadeva Goswami close the Rasa Panchadaya, the five chapters of the Rasa Dance, verse 39? He says, anyone who hears the pastimes of Krishna with the Braja Gopis in the Rasa Dance, he'll get free or purify his heart from the disease of lust immediately. You may wonder, you may ask a question, because he finishes, Shukadeva Goswami finishes describing all these seemingly lusty activities of Krishna, embracing, touching, kissing the gopis, dancing. Then he says, anyone hears about this, he'll become purified of lust. Ridrogam, kamam ridrogam. He says, achirani dirat. Then here's the answer. You may wonder how one becomes purified of lust in his heart by hearing about Krishna's lusty dealings or pastimes. It will happen only if you understand how pure these Brajagopis are. That is the secret behind it. This is only an example to fully explain what is Uttam Bhakti. Any other example falls short of Uttam Bhakti. That's very interesting. The definition of Uttam Bhakti, which we probably all memorized by now, is Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Gyana Karmadi Ravritam Anukulina Krishna Anushitam Bhakti Uttama. So now, what's the best example of Uttama Bhakti in all the Shastras? Vishwanath is saying the best example of Uttama Bhakti in all the Shastras, which is what we're aspiring for, to be Uttam Bhaktas, pure devotees. The best example is Krishna and the Rasa Dasa of the Gopis. This Kamarupa Bhakti in action. Any other example you find in Shastra will fall short of the full definition of Uttam Bhakti. Even at that time, when the Brajagopis were intimately enjoying with Krishna, the thought doesn't even enter their minds to enjoy that union. If you read Govinda Lilamrita, everywhere Krishna's Kaviraj is trying to show how the Brajagopis are desirous to meet with Krishna. They're always saying, when can we meet, how can we meet, where can we meet? So externally, the gopis, they appear like young girls who are trying to meet a young boy. And when Krishna and Brajagopis meet, it seems that they deal with each other exactly like young boys and girls. But this is the difference. Indriya Priti, lust or kam, means your desire is only for satisfaction of your own senses. Nothing can captivate a person more than sexual union. You get completely absorbed into it. Even in that state, however, the Brajagopis never lose their connection of being a servant of Krishna and acting only for his pleasure. This is the point made in these pastimes of the Bhagavatam and other books describing Krishna's confidential pastimes with the gopis. So this is the point, that these the most intimate, captivating, entangling activity in the material world is man-woman combination. And Krishna shows this same pastime, this seemingly same activity, but yet they don't get entangled. Krishna doesn't get attached or lose everything, lose his own consciousness of being a servant. They say love is blind or love makes one blind. So this is the point. This whole idea was observed by Uddhava when he met the Brajagopis in Vrindavan. He could understand the extent and purity of their love. How insignificant he himself was by comparison. This type of feeling is called Gopi Bhava or Mantri Bhava. This is the type of consciousness, feeling, and sentiments we have to acquire. It's not so much the body. We have to understand the Bhava, the consciousness of a gopi, the feelings and sentiments of a gopi. It's not the body. It's not that we start meditating, I have my mantri stroop like this, such and such dress, complexion, hair, etc. The proper mood is required. We must adopt the proper mood, feelings, bhav. If you understand the mood of the Braja Gopis and to desire to attain that feeling, that mood, that surrender, and that is the greatest blessing and the greatest purification of the heart, because then you'll have no other desire. This is from the Haridas Shastri and some of his disciples, their viewpoint, because they're not so much interested in, or he isn't, just immediately giving some gopi deya and say, now meditate. He says that the real thing is the bhav. If the bhav is there and the intense desire to, and feelings like Krishna's associates, and feelings and desires to serve like Krishna's premi bhaktas, and Krishna will accept that. As one acharya said, transcendence is not blind. God is not blind and deaf. He sees our endeavors and he hears our prayers. So he can reward us accordingly. Sarvato panipadantat, sarvato shi shiromakam. Everywhere are Krishna's hands and faces, eyes and legs. So don't be sad. We say Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada. That this Chakshuratatam, the eye of God, the guardian's eye is above our head, always watching, always arranging, always controlling. He's making all the arrangements to move us in the proper way at the proper time. So he himself, Haridas Shastri, a very famous guru and Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya in Braj, he emphasizes the developing of this bhav, as we do also. This is the mood which is acquired. If you understand the mood of the Braja Gopis and desire to attain it, that is the greatest blessing and the greatest purification of the heart. Because then you have no other desire. People are so much worried about and bothered by sex desire. They try all kinds of ways to control sex desire, to sublimate it, to subdue it by pranayama, headstands, yoga. But nothing actually works. It's only bhakti that can cure sex desire. Because in bhakti, the desire for sex is uprooted. When you get a liking that you want to be, when you get a liking that you want to be a devotee like the Braja Gopis, like Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, you cannot get sex desire. It will not come. That is why Sukadeva Goswami is saying that the heart disease gets destroyed by hearing about these lusty pastimes, seemingly lusty. Otherwise, if the devotee keeps on reading about Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes and thinking just by reading I'll get free from sex desire, what actually will happen, he'll get more involved with sex desire and become... because he doesn't understand the meaning behind Radha and Krishna's confidential pastimes. The meaning is this intense pure love, this intense dedication, this intense submission, this intense selflessness and self-forgetfulness, and this intense purity of their devotion. This is what's behind it, not the external representation or externally what you read about. Very interesting. Jiva Goswami says this point too. Sometimes they develop more sex desire because they don't understand the purpose behind Krishna's pastimes, confidential. Whatever samskar or impressions or tendencies a sadhaka may have within for illicit behavior will become excited by hearing and reading about Radha and Krishna's love affairs again and again. For it is not explained properly. These pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Braja Gopis are manifestations of Uttam Bhakti. Radharani is a personification of Uttam Bhakti, Mahabhav. How Radharani is acting on the platform of pure bhakti is depicted in the Bhagavatam and books like Krishna Bhavanamrita and Govinda Lilamrita. When some devotee has this bhav or consciousness, how is she going to act? We have to study the mood of the Braja Gopis, not their actions. It's interesting because it says we have to develop Gopi Bhav, Radhe Radhe. The mood and the Bhav. Gopi Bhava Rasamritabdi Lahari Kalola Magna Mohur. Gopi Bhava. Gopi Bhava Rasamritabdi Lahari Kalola Magna Mohur. Vande Rupa Sanatana Rugigo Sri Jiva Gopalago. What the Braja Gopis do may look like ordinary activities to material people. It's like the same thing. Two devotees sit down to chant japa. What is the mentality or what is the bhav of the new devotee and the advanced devotee? What is the bhav? We must see and understand the consciousness, the bhav, the mood behind their actions, which impels them to act like that. That we must study. If we can understand the Braja Gopi's bhav, then we can get a glimpse what is Uttam Bhakti. Very interesting. Because the gopis are the topmost devotees of the Lord. Radha, Radhika. Radhika means the greatest worshipper, the greatest devotee of the Lord. Everyone knows that. That Krishna accepts every offering from Radharani's hand. That's why she is worshipped in the altar, to show, yes, who is next to Radha, who is next to Krishna directly, offering tambul to his lips, or offering a garland, is not only Radharani. She has the pole position because of her supreme bhakti and supreme dedication and sacrifice for the happiness of Krishna. We must study. If we can understand the bhav, the feelings, the love, the sentiments, the dedication, the absorption, the surrender, the selflessness, the purity of purpose, and the clarity of the gopis' hearts and minds, then their dealings, their external actions, and pastimes of kissing, embracing, dancing, we understand that they're all simply expressions of their deep love and attachment to Krishna. We want the bhav. Automatically the body will come. Devotees like Uddhava and Brahma, they get a glimpse of the Braja Gopi's pure Uttama Bhakti. Therefore they pray for this. We should understand how elevated and pure is their consciousness. To desire to enjoy sambhog or sex is converted into prema, the desire to give pleasure to Krishna. Such uttama bhakti is found only in the Braja Gopis, no one else. You can only attain this uttama bhakti from the gopis. That's why Lord Chaitanya came to reveal this fact, the love of the Braja Gopis, and make it understood. This is Lord Chaitanya's contribution to Indian philosophy. Gopika praying does not belong to the material world. This is the meaning of the Maha Mantra, calling Krishna that loving mood with the desire to please and serve him. The word kam, we understand the meaning, is the essence of the Braja Gopis, the essence of their love. Their praying is only rag or complete attachment. Just as in material lust, a person becomes completely attracted and attached to that object. That person wants to have that other person and enjoy him. Similarly, a devotee at the level of Kama Rup Bhakti is completely attached to Krishna to have him and give pleasure to him. Kam means total and complete obsession or attachment to one's desirable object, which here is Krishna. The so-called union in sex between a man and a woman manifested here between Braja Gopis and Krishna is only for the sake of giving pleasure to Krishna in the form of prema. So this is the basic discussion here. There's no other intention in the minds of the gopis. The Gopi Gita describes the pure prema of the Braja Gopis. This is the gopis' power and strength as they possess this pure desire to please Krishna. It so intensely burns within their heart that they can't act in any other way but to give pleasure to Krishna.